Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump threatens tariffs on European goods.
Carlos Ghosn speaks about his arrest.
This is about conspiracy. This is about backstabbing. That's what we're talking about.
Plus, Theresa May brings Brexit talks to Berlin and Paris.
And Sokjin announces major job cuts.
Members of Congress will try to grill Attorney General William Barr on Capitol Hill today. The shakeup at Homeland Security continues. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NCAA championship game went overtime. Virginia beat Texas Tech. In Houston, the Astros rallied to beat the Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks struggling for direction. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down about 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 1. NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 is up about the same. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 2.51%. Yield on the 2-year 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 24 cents to $64.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.70 to $13.05.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1275 against the dollar and the yen at 111.27. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump preparing tariffs on European goods. The White House says EU subsidies to Airbus are harming Boeing. In response, it's proposing levies on imports from the bloc. Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank has the very latest.
The U.S. has proposed some $11 billion worth of tariff countermeasures that would hit a whole line of European products, from French Roquefort to British Stilton cheese to the big one is Airbus aircraft. This is in response to what the U.S. says had been EU subsidies for Airbus. This is a clear warning shot that the U.S. stands ready to go with tariffs on Airbus equipment in a very delicate moment for Boeing all around the world. This is a move that could absolutely help the U.S. his largest plane maker and force some additional difficulties onto Airbus, its chief competitor.
It has shares of Airbus down nearly 1.5% in Paris this morning.
Meanwhile, in Asia, stocks had modest gains today to trade near 6 months highs. So Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The standout stock performer in Asia was Crown Resorts, jumping almost 20% in Sydney, the most on record on confirmation. Wynn Resorts is in talks to buy the Australian casino company for $7.1 billion. Elsewhere, the yen held on to gains, which contributed to a mixed equity session in Japan as the Nikkei closed higher by 0.2%, but the broader topics fell slightly. Chinese stocks were mostly firmer, the CSI 300 up by 0.5% on the close to a 12-month high, and tech stocks led gains on Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Car sales in China continue to slump, plunging for the 10th straight month. Retail auto sales dropped 12% in March as a slowing economy and U.S. trade tensions weigh on consumer sentiment. China says cars are currently the only shrinking consumer product group in the country.
Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn is speaking out about his arrest.
This is about a plot. This is about conspiracy. This is about backstabbing. That's what we're talking about.
In a video recorded before his latest arrest, Ghosn blames Nissan executives for orchestrating his detention in a Japanese jail instead of working to fix the automaker's poor performance.
There was fear that the next step of the alliance in terms of convergence and in terms of moving toward the merger would in a certain way threaten some people or eventually threaten the autonomy of Nissan.
Carlos Ghosn repeated his claim of innocence in the 8-minute video and originally named specific people responsible for his arrest. Those names, however, were edited out due to the sensitive nature of Ghosn's current position. He's expected to remain in jail until at least Sunday.
Now, on the Brexit front, Prime Minister Theresa May heads to Berlin and Paris today, seeking a short delay to the UK's exit from the EU. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from Brussels.
One day before this summit, she's decided to go see Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron. We know the French and the Germans have been very different when it comes to the negotiation. Angela Merkel herself many times has said that she will fight to get the deal done. Until that very last minute, Emmanuel Macron has flirted with the idea of a veto, a no-deal Brexit. But we understand that, in fact, the Germans and the French behind the scenes actually are preparing a much more coordinated response. And whatever we get tomorrow will be the result of a compromise between the two of them. And also, at the same time, it's worth keeping in mind that here in Brussels, there's many other member states who at this point do not want to be seen as forcing a no-deal Brexit. So that's something that we need to keep in mind when it comes to maybe a debate on a veto.
And Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports that summit tomorrow will play a large role in deciding the future of Brexit. EU officials want to make sure any delay won't allow Prime Minister May to disrupt the bloc's business.
Elsewhere in Europe, we have word of major job cuts at the investment banking unit of Societe Generale. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. About 1,600 jobs are to go at France's SocGen. Three quarters of the positions likely to be cut from the division which houses the French bank's trading activities. Fourth quarter trading revenue, remember, plunged by 19%, capping a disappointing year for the lender. Its shares down 40% over the past 12 months. SocGen yet to detail exactly where the axe will fall, but we do know 750 of the job losses will be in France. And according to people familiar, London and New York also likely to be hit. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Ewan, back here in the U.S., Tesla's cutting more sales staff following a disappointing deliveries report. Sources tell Bloomberg the company dismissed several dozen employees in Chicago, Brooklyn, and Tampa. Tesla confirms the cuts, but is declining to discuss specifics, including the number of personnel affected.
And futures this morning, again, little change to lower. S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 3, NASDAQ futures down about 9, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.51%, the yield on the 2-year 2.35%, and the 30-year yield at 2.91%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. John Tucker has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr is set to make an appearance on Capitol Hill today, his first since Special Counsel Robert Mueller wrapped up his investigation. And Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports Barr plans to hold off, though, on addressing the probe.
This will be Barr's first public testimony since his confirmation. It's a long-scheduled hearing to consider the Justice Department's budget, and Barr has indicated he doesn't plan to make any references to the Mueller report. He's promised to talk about that next month, but that won't stop Democrats from asking about it or from protesting his move to censor certain parts of it as he prepares to release it with redactions. He set his own deadline of mid-April to send that version to lawmakers. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Donald Trump is considering the removal of more top officials at the Department of Homeland Security after demanding the resignation of Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen as he purges the agency out of frustration over a spike in illegal border crossings. The White House announced Monday that the Secret Service Director Randolph Ells would leave the administration, joining Nielsen, who announced she would resign effective Wednesday. The DHS Undersecretary for Management is likely to be removed or reassigned to clear the way for Trump's preferred replacement for Nielsen. Benjamin Netanyahu is having the political fight of his life today as he seeks a fifth term as Prime Minister of Israel. And Bloomberg's Michael Arnold is in Jerusalem.
Facing potential indictment in multiple corruption cases, Netanyahu is locked in a close race against former Army Chief Benny Gantz. Polls published before the weekend showed Gantz's blue and white bloc with a slight lead over Netanyahu's Likud. But it doesn't really matter which party gets the most seats. The key is which leader can cobble together a majority of the 120-seat parliament. There, Netanyahu seems to have a clear advantage. The key will be how the smaller parties fare. A party must win at least 4 seats just to make it into parliament. Less than that, and its votes are discarded. If several small right-wing parties cross the threshold, Netanyahu seems likely to emerge as the winner. If they don't, President Reuven Rivlin could ask Gantz to form the next government. In Jerusalem, Michael Arnold, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The number of measles cases in the U.S. continues to grow. In New York City, the health department is urging all New Yorkers, especially those in the Orthodox Jewish community, to get the measles vaccine to prevent further spread of the disease. Pediatric Dr. Peter O'Connor is reminding everyone the measles outbreaks can be deadly.
You can get pneumonia and you can get encephalitis, which is swelling of the brain from it. And it can also be fatal in about 1 out of 1,000 cases.
City health officials say Orthodox Jewish schools in Brooklyn face possible closure if non-vaccinated students are allowed to attend classes. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, when they write the story of Virginia's first national championship, it'll start with the 2018 NCAA tournament when Virginia made a different kind of history, first and only one seed to lose to a 16 seed. Back this year as a one seed, they fell behind by 14 points in the first round, but won that game, won the next two, beat Purdue in overtime after a tying shot at the buzzer, beat Auburn at the Final Four despite trailing with a second left, and last night trailed Texas Tech until a DeAndre Hunter three-pointer with 13 seconds left forced another overtime. And the Cavaliers dominated the OT, an 11-0 run, 12-for-12 from the free throw line. Virginia 85, Texas Tech 77. The winning coach, Tony Bennett.
One of our themes, well, I told them before the Auburn game, I said, just bring your two fish and five loaves. It's a story in the Bible. And I said, it'll be enough. I said, it'll be enough for the masses. I said, when you guys play the right way, the collectiveness of it takes over. And I've watched it, and I've stepped back, and I've seen this. And now I've seen them mature through everything, and for them to do what they did, you know, and how they've won, it's a great story. It really is.
Speaking of coaches, St. John's reportedly needs a new one. Chris Mullen, who returned to his alma mater, got the Red Storm to this year's NCAA, said to be likely to resign. There had been rumors he was going to get fired, but the school had just said he would not be. In Houston, Yankees led 3-1 seventh inning. The Astros tied it on a Robinson Chirinos two-run double off Zach Britton. They scored again in the eighth. They won 4-3. And the news on Luis Severino is not encouraging. Still not feeling right. As he tried to throw, he came back to New York for a second MRI on his injured shoulder. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down nearly 2 points now. Dow futures up 1 point. NASDAQ futures down 8 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by B&B Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business and their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. B&B Bank, many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. is threatening tariffs on $11 billion of imports from Europe. The White House says EU subsidies to Airbus are harming Boeing and is proposing levies on imports from the bloc in response. Saudi Aramco received orders for $85 billion in its debut bond sale. That strong demand could produce a lower yield than the country's sovereign debt in final pricing today. Wynn Resorts is in talks to buy James Packer's Crown Resorts for $7.1 billion. Bloomberg Intelligence says it's a risky bet for Wynn, which is using cash for the deal that could instead fund its Japanese expansion. And BlackRock says the Fed will hike rates again, but not for a while. Chief strategist Richard Turnell says investors are too confident the next Fed move will be a cut. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures, little change, down 2 points. Dow futures up one. NASDAQ futures down nine. The DAX in Germany up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.51%. Yield on the two-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 15 cents to $64.56 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.33% or $4.30 to $13.06.20 an ounce. The euro at 1.1275 against the dollar and the yen at 111.28. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, the director of the U.S. Secret Service will leave his job. It comes amid an investigation into a security breach at the president's Mar-a-Lago resort and a broader shakeup within the Department of Homeland Security. Attorney General William Barr is set to face members of Congress amid the intense speculation over his review of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report. Barr isn't coming to Congress to talk about the report, but lawmakers are expected to ask him about it anyway. And the U.S. will deny entry to 16 Saudis over their roles in the murder of the columnist
Jamal Khashoggi. Bloomberg Sports, Virginia beat Texas Tech 85-77 in overtime to win the men's college basketball championship. In baseball, the Yankees, A's, Nationals, and Giants all lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Oil is trading at a five-month high at the moment, with geopolitical events outweighing indicators that may suggest this year's rally in crude may be overdone. Here to help us sort the oil market out is Bloomberg News oil trading reporter Alex Longley. Of course, there's been a lot of focus of late, Alex, on the rising violence in Libya. Are we starting to see that trickle into the oil market and actually disrupt supply?
I think clearly from yesterday morning there was a sort of a renewed geopolitical premium added to crude prices. But interestingly, Libya's largest field was increasing production yesterday rather than decreasing. So we have a bit of a dichotomy in the oil market where on the ground supplies in Libya are increasing, but there's an expectation that that tension could flare up. And you add that on top of Iranian sanction waivers coming up in May and a worsening situation in Venezuela, and all of a sudden the geopolitical situation in the oil market seems one that's very bullish for flat prices at the moment.
How does the geopolitical consideration of a potential continuation of OPEC plus supply cuts play into the picture?
Well, clearly this is going to have to be something that OPEC and its allies allow to evolve over the next coming months. This was always one of the reservations that the group had when it planned this April meeting and then subsequently cancelled it, because they were saying they don't know what's going to happen with Iran sanction waivers. They don't know how inventories are going to play out over the coming months. So they decided to kick the can down the line till June and figure out what's going to happen then. If this Libya situation carries on, you may see that they continue to get an exemption from the supply cuts. Remember, they were initially exempt, and then there was sort of some fudging as to whether they would come into the pact further down the line once they first agreed output cuts. So clearly it's something they're going to have to monitor. We heard Russia today saying that if the oil market is imbalanced, they don't see the need for extending output cuts. So it will be on their radar. And then I think it's a question of how severe the situation gets between now and when the group next meets in June as to whether or not they have to factor it into their decision.
I wonder how much weight the President Trump's Twitter feed will play into the cartel's decision making.
Well, we've got the same sort of power balance that we've had for the last 12 months or so, where on the one hand, President Trump keeps tweeting that he's not a fan of these high oil prices. But on the other hand, it's U.S. foreign policy that is in a large part contributing to them in the case of Venezuela and of Iran. So there is an element that, for example, late last year where President Trump said that sanctions on Iran were going to be very severe, and they turned out to be less severe than anticipated. We could see that again in May. I think there's an anticipation that sanction waivers will be rolled over to those who currently have them. And then on the other hand, we've got his general desire for low gas prices in the US, and currently the gasoline market has been tightening, which has kind of had enabled that to go under the radar for some of the winter when President Trump kind of ease the gas on crude markets for a little bit.
And perhaps beneath the radar, underneath all these geopolitical headlines, are these technical indicators that may indicate that the rally we've seen in the first quarter, trickling into the second quarter potentially now, may be overdone.
And that's the other thing. We spend so much time talking to oil traders about what the trade war will do, what President Trump will tweet, what OPEC will do. But there's obviously a vast swathe of the market who generally are only looking at what the numbers are saying. And at the moment, we're seeing WTI the most overbought in more than a year. We're seeing crude trading above its kind of upper Bollinger Bands as well, sort of regularly looked at gauges of technical sentiment that suggest this rally is overdone. On the other hand, some of the CTA players would point to some of the moving averages, which tell you crude's above its 50-day, 100-day, 200-day moving averages. So long-term indicators suggest that maybe there's more room to run, but certainly in the short term, the market's looking like it might be in need of a breather.
Just quickly, about 30 seconds left, where do many of the analysts think Brent could top out?
Well, we had Goldman Sachs today revising their forecasts pretty much to where we are now, which I think many analysts at the start of the year called for a return to 70, which at the time was a fairly hefty rally. Now we're there. I think there's an element of wait and see, much like I was saying with OPEC earlier. We need to see how some of these geopolitical risks and US supply play out over the coming weeks and months. And then we can figure out whether the next leg is up towards 80 and 90 or to consolidate around 70.
And the current price of Brent, 70.98, that's down on the session about 0.2%. Bloomberg News, oil trading reporter Alex Longley. Always great to talk to you on Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures down nearly 2 points. NASDAQ futures down 9. Dow futures unchanged. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We have another possible trade dispute with the Trump administration threatening Europe with new tariffs. Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank has the very latest.
The Trump administration has said that it is going to consider tariffs on about $11 billion worth of European goods. Now, these range anywhere from helicopter parts to wine and cheese, but I think that the big thing in that list is Airbus planes themselves.
And the White House is threatening tariffs because it says EU subsidies for Airbus are harming business for Boeing. That has shares of Airbus down nearly 2% in Paris.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May travels to Paris today as well as Berlin to try to win a short delay to Brexit. Bloomberg's Adam Blenford reports from London.
Mrs. May is going off to see Emmanuel Macron in France. She's going off to see Angela Merkel in Berlin to try and talk around the details of what the UK might get out of an EU summit tomorrow. Mrs. May has asked for an extension to the Brexit deadline. She wants that extended to June the 30th. But the likelihood is that the Europeans will ask the UK to commit to something quite a bit longer, perhaps even into next year.
Indeed, three EU officials tell Bloomberg they expect the UK to be heading for a long extension to Brexit.
Societe Generale says it plans to cut about 1,600 jobs, mostly at its investment bank unit. The French lender blames a slump in trading revenue.
And more job cuts at Tesla. Bloomberg has learned the electric car maker dismissed several dozen members of its sales team across the U.S.
Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn says his arrest was part of a conspiracy. Ghosn's lawyers today releasing a video message he recorded before his latest incarceration in Tokyo.
This is a conspiracy. This is not about specific events. This is not about greed. This is not about dictatorship. This is about a plot. This is about conspiracy. This is about backstabbing. That's what we're talking about.
And Ghosn was rearrested at his Tokyo apartment on April 4th and is expected to remain in jail until at least Sunday. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures, they're little change to lower, down about 2 points. The Dow futures down 3. NASDAQ futures down 11. The DAX in Germany, little changed as well, up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.51%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%, up 8 cents to $64.49 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker has more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Nate. Members of Congress will try to grill Attorney General William Barr about the Mueller report on Capitol Hill today. And Bloomberg's Irv Chapman reports from Washington.
The hearing is to present the Justice Department's budget request. It's not before one of the committees investigating the president and the Russians. But Barr can't expect to be asked about his decision to state that the Mueller report did not establish obstruction of justice, a conclusion Mueller himself chose to leave open. As he continues to black out sections of the report before presenting it to Congress, Barr has said he would testify when it's released. In Washington, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's policy of turning back asylum seekers at the southern border was blocked by a judge, the latest setback in his battle against immigration. His ouster of the top Homeland Security officials is a sign he's preparing to ramp up his effort, which may include restarting the separation of migrants from their children. Democratic Representative Eric Swalwell of California, who hails from the crucial caucus state of Iowa, is jumping into the presidential race.
Till we get a leader who is willing to go big on the issues we take on, be bold in the solutions we offer, and do good in the way that we govern. I'm ready to solve these problems. I'm running for president of the United States.
Swalwell made the announcement on CBS's The Late Night Show with Stephen Colbert. Swalwell has been one of the loudest voices in the U.S. House calling for additional scrutiny of the Trump administration. Israelis are voting for a new 120-member parliament and to determine the political fate of Benjamin Netanyahu, who is seeking a fifth term while battling corruption charges. The prime minister has waged a bruising campaign, painting centrist opponent Benny Gantz as a weak leftist while wooing right-wingers with a promise to annex parts of the West Bank. The voting ends at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, with first results due several hours later. The New York City Health Department is urging all residents, especially those in the Orthodox Jewish community, to get the measles vaccine to prevent further spread of the virus. New York City Councilman Stephen Levin is worried that some communities are hearing false information about vaccinations.
Vaccinating your children is in the best interest of them and the entire community.
The New York City health officials say Orthodox Jewish schools in Brooklyn face possible closure if non-vaccinated students are allowed to attend classes during the current measles outbreak. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has this morning's Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, nothing came easy for Virginia. In the last three games, they won in overtime, needing a shot at the buzzer of regulation. Then they won by a point after trailing with a second left. And in last night's championship game in Minneapolis, they led Texas Tech most of the night, but they trailed by three. DeAndre Hunter tied the game with a three-pointer with 13 seconds left. So another overtime game and another Virginia win. 85-77 over Texas Tech as Hunter picked a good time for a career high. 27 points. He was the most outstanding player. Kyle Guy, who had the heroics in the semifinals, added 24, and remembered back to last year when Virginia, as a one seed, lost a 16 seed at UMBC.
We all had the same goal in mind for next year, and that was to win the national championship. You know, we've all had our own battles, and I said earlier that it's a really special group because we all had the same why, amongst otherwise, but to share the same one and, you know, to battle through everything we battled through and come out on top is a, you know, fantastic feeling.
First title in school history at St. John's. Chris Mullen reportedly will resign after 4 years on the job. Former star player had returned to coach his alma mater. In Houston, the Yankees and Masahiro Tanaka had a 3-1 lead on Justin Verlander, Aaron Judge a home run, but the Astros rallied on Yankee relievers Zach Britton and Adam Ottavino. They beat Aaron Boone's team 4-3.
I thought our plan was good. I thought guys executed. I thought guys played well. Masa was terrific. So, yeah, you know, it stings a little bit when you lose a game like that where you feel like you played pretty well.
And while CC Sabathia is set to return Saturday, could be a while for Luis Severino. He's having another MRI on his injured shoulder. He tried to throw, said it didn't feel right. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, one other note from last night's championship game. The winner of the Bloomberg Brackets for a Cause, Jim Chanos. Famed short seller has made a career on Wall Street betting against the crowd. In basketball, he went with a favorite, picking number one Virginia to take it all. Participants donated $10,000 to Bloomberg's Brackets for a Cause. The total pot goes to the charities of the three participants with the most accurate brackets. Chanos's charity is Maison du Monde, Greece. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The college admissions scandal underscores the importance of having an application process that can't be gamed. But as high schools in New York City demonstrate, even a process based purely on an incorruptible metric will cause controversy. New York has a handful of public high schools where admission is determined by a single entrance exam. For years, however, the entrance exam has produced student bodies at odds with the city's ethnic makeup. Outrage over low numbers of black and Hispanic students is justified, but abolishing the test is no solution. The problem is not the test, but all those years leading up to it that children spend in classrooms receiving inadequate instruction. Until K-8 education is improved, including by expanding charter schools, the racial achievement gap will persist, and debates over admission policies will continue to miss the mark. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Picture this, a torrent of fresh water from glaciers that are melting five times faster now than they were in the 1960s. A new study in the journal Nature shows Earth's glaciers are losing 369 billion tons of snow and ice each year. The rate is accelerating due to global warming and adding more water to already rising seas. Put another way, since 1961, the world has lost 10.6 trillion tons of ice and snow. That's a massive ice cube, the equivalent of 4 feet tall and... I did say big.
It's an ice cube of the size of the United States of America, so it's a tremendous amount of ice, and that adds to global sea level rise.
The study's lead author, Michael Zemp of the University of Zurich, says glaciers in New Zealand, Central Europe, Western Canada, and the lower 48 states are losing, on average, more than 1% of their mass each year. At the current rate, he says, the glaciers will not survive the century. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, thank you, Bob. 6:40 on Wall Street. Shares of Sony surged more than 8% in Tokyo today. The moves came after Reuters reported Daniel Loeb's hedge fund Third Point's building a stake in the Japanese electronics giant as part of an effort to sway its corporate strategy. Futures pointing to a slightly lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 4 points. NASDAQ futures down by 11 points. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. And futures this morning, they're a little changed to lower. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. As you said, futures trading incrementally lower on light volume after President Trump threatened new tariffs on the European Union. The Dow's off 3 points, S&P lower by just 2, with the NASDAQ falling 12 points. U.S. 10-year yield is at 2.51%, and Shanghai ended the day lower by 0.2%. European markets are broadly trading higher, led by gains in Switzerland. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 10 a.m., JOLTS job openings. U.S. steel shares fell 5.3% after Credit Suisse cut the stock to underperform and lowered its price target to a street low. And in deal news, Wynn Resorts is set in talks to buy James Packer's Crown Resorts for about $7 billion. Sony shares soared in Tokyo trading after a report Dan Loeb's Third Point is building a stake and pushing for changes. And wrapping things up, Zogenix was downgraded to neutral over at Guggenheim. Disney was upgraded to outperform at Cowen. And Lennox was lowered to market perform over at Cowen as well. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
Bailey, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. Attorney General William Barr is set to make an appearance on Capitol Hill today. His first since Special Counsel Robert Mueller wrapped up his investigation. It is a long-scheduled hearing to consider the Justice Department's budget, and Barr has indicated he doesn't plan to make any references to the Mueller report. Donald Trump considering the removal of more top officials at the Department of Homeland Security as he purges the agency out of frustration over a spike in illegal border crossings. And Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu faces the political fight of his life today when voters decide whether to endorse his muscular brand of nationalism or toss him out of office. Sports, Virginia beats Texas Tech 85-77. That game went to overtime to win the men's college basketball championship. Baseball, the Yankees, A's, Nationals, Giants all lose. And finally, Nathan, from Bloomberg Daybreak. On this day in history, Francis Bacon was killed by a chicken in 1626, sort of. The English philosopher is traveling in his carriage on a snowy day. When inspired by the weather, he had the idea that freezing food could keep it fresh. He stopped to buy a chicken, packed it with ice from the ground. As a result, he developed pneumonia and died.
Jeez.
Stranger still, for hundreds of years after, there were reports of half-plucked ghost chickens running around his place in London.
Reminds you me. Lost me at bacon dies bacon by chicken.
Remember the Bristol of Chicken of Bristol from Monty Python?
I'm ready for lunch already.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Always appreciate the history lesson. Thank you, John. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., some of the top stories in our nation's capital. Attorney General William Barr heads to the Hill for a budget hearing today, his first appearance before lawmakers since he put out the Mueller summary. Executives from Cigna, CVS, and Humana are going to be on Capitol Hill as well, appearing before the Senate Finance Committee for a hearing on prescription drug prices. And at the White House, President Trump meets today with Egyptian leader Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Also making news this morning, the apparent purge at Homeland Security. President Trump apparently cleaning house to air his frustrations over the border. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with me now. And, of course, we heard first Kirstjen Nielsen out as DHS secretary. That was confirmed yesterday. Then the head of the Secret Service, Tex Alice, is shown the door. And I've heard or seen some news outlets calling it the Monday Massacre, but it could extend into Tuesday and beyond.
Yeah, it looks as though this is a broad-scale reshuffling of the leadership at the top of the Department of Homeland Security and then other entities that also deal with immigration policy more loosely or are part of the department. I think this is part of Trump looking ahead to 2020 and wanting to make sure that he looks as though he is able to take a tougher approach heading into 2020 and perhaps actually take a tougher approach heading into 2020, given that by most measures, the situation at the border is not improved, is perhaps worse than it was when he was campaigning in 2016. And so I think it's an acknowledgement, a tacit acknowledgement that there's a concern out there about how that's going to be portrayed when he runs for re-election.
Yeah, and you wonder whether that concern is going to be exacerbated, at least in the short term, when you have the leadership at the Department of Homeland Security being removed here.
Well, I think that that is definitely a risk. That's certainly part of the tack that we're already seeing Democrats taking. Folks like Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who were quick to point out that a lot of the top leadership positions at DHS are either vacant or being filled by someone who's in an acting capacity at this point. And so I think that that will be certainly the Democrats' counterargument, that there's potentially, you know, not consistent leadership or a lack of permanent leadership at the top levels of the Homeland Security Department. But I think that what the Trump administration is going for here is perhaps this is likely to increase the influence of Stephen Miller, who is a senior advisor in the White House, who is a hardline immigration person that's been very involved in Capitol Hill negotiations over wall funding up until this point. And perhaps we will see, you know, the White House more directly dictating some immigration policy and taking, you know, a firmer hand towards immigration policy. And that could perhaps have the benefit of, you know, getting the base assuaged with the idea that, you know, Trump is making strides at the border, which isn't particularly clear now.
Now, clearly there's going to be criticism from the Democratic side. How are Republicans reacting to these changes at DHS?
Well, this is interesting because we're also seeing some concern from the Republican side. For instance, there's a top aide that is a former staffer for Chuck Grassley, an Iowa Republican. And so he expressed some concern about that aide potentially, you know, being about, you know, that aide being removed from DHS. And so I think that, you know, given that these folks in some cases have backgrounds, you know, and ties to Capitol Hill Republicans, we're likely to see continued criticism on that front as well. And also just the idea that I think that Congress generally likes to have oversight over appointments at top levels to departments like Homeland Security. And so a lot of these folks, if they were in a permanent capacity, would need to be approved by, would need to be confirmed by the Senate. But that isn't necessarily the case if they're just serving in an acting capacity. And so I think we're likely to see from both sides of the aisle some reticence to, you know, this kind of musical chairs that we're seeing now.
Yeah, I think you could argue that Senator Grassley is a member of the Republican establishment. I wonder whether the president could be playing to his base even further by, you know, potentially antagonizing members of the establishment Republican Party.
That's an excellent point, and I think that that's very, very true, is that it's important to remember that, particularly on immigration, Republicans are not a unified party. There's certainly, you know, still the more establishment wing. I will call them kind of the John McCain, George Bush, George W. Bush Republicans, who really wanted to see and still would want to see, you know, a comprehensive immigration reform that includes increasing security at the border, but isn't necessarily having that as the sole focus. And then you also have kind of the Trump wing now of the party, which obviously wants to be a lot more hardline and focus on building a border wall and limiting, you know, the influx of immigrants altogether from Mexico across the border. And so I think that, you know, it's important to keep in mind that Republicans aren't speaking with a unified voice on this issue. And so a lot of these changes are going to expose the divisions that already exist within the party.
In the time we have left, Kathleen, I want to move on to something that's happening tomorrow that Wall Street could potentially be keeping a very close eye on this morning. We've got several major bank CEOs heading to Capitol Hill tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and this could be a real kind of closely watched moment, because I think there's been a sense since Democrats took control of the House that it's going to be a new day dawning for the banks, at least in the Financial Services Committee on the House. And so I think we're likely to see, you know, some tough questions, to put it mildly. And I think that the sense is that among the bank CEOs, they're likely to rely on Jamie Dimon, who's someone who tends to have a lot of experience testifying on Capitol Hill. He does have good relationships on both sides of the aisle, and someone that tends to, you know, articulate the bank's cases pretty well. And so we'd likely to see, you know, be the Jamie Dimon show when they go up to the Hill.
I guess we're looking at what, like a half dozen CEOs heading toward the House Financial Services Committee? I mean, with that many people at the dais, I wonder how much depth we can see from the questioning from a very large Financial Services Committee.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't expect, I mean, certainly individual members might delve deeply into, you know, specific policy issues. But I think more importantly, this is a chance for Democrats, particularly the Democrats like, you know, of the Elizabeth Warren wing of the party, who really, really want to sort of hold bank executives' feet to the fire, given their newfound power in the House. This will be an opportunity for them to begin doing that.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, we know you'll be watching tomorrow. Thanks for the preview. You can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2, Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. And futures this morning, again, their little change to lower. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 2 as well. And NASDAQ futures are down 11. The DAX in Germany is little change, down about 0.1%. The FTSE 100 is up 0.1%, and so is the CAC in Paris. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.51%. The yield on the 2 years at 2.35%. And NYMEX crude oil is rising up 0.2% at $64.53 a barrel. That's up 13 cents right now. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.